At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
My gosh, we're an hour into the show. We haven't even told you what's on the show yet. Annie is in Washington, D.C., and that was the first hour. But get this. We talked about Ryan Schmelz. He's coming up, so obviously he's also live in D.C. from Capitol Hill. Annie's at the White House. But at 2:45, Bill O'Reilly's going to be on the show. So, I mean, we haven't even – huge guest. We haven't even talked about it yet because Annie's in D.C. in the press pool. So
– we're excited to have Bill O'Reilly on because 97.1 is going to be hosting and broadcasting – exclusively the News Nation town hall that Bill O'Reilly, Chris Cuomo, and Stephen A. Smith will be having with Donald Trump on Wednesday evening about his first 100 days. That's exclusive here. It's 7 to, I believe, 9 p.m.
Yeah, it depends on how long the town hall goes. But that's all. So this is the 100 days coverage we're doing this week. It's not just us. I mean, this is a national thing that's happening. The Trump administration is doing different days. Annie said in the last hour that today they're focusing on immigration. Obviously, they're focusing on their strengths first. They think the economy is a strength. They're going to talk about the economy on the 100th day. Scott Bessent's going to be in the room with Annie tomorrow. We don't know what questions will be like, whether she's going to get to ask one, but that's today's YouTube live chat poll. Do you have a question that you would like Annie to ask at the White House press briefing? And you know, that could very well be a part of what she asks. I mean, she's going to be monitoring the chat just like we are. I'm not saying your question will be asked verbatim, but depending on the topic, it's very fluid. So we'll see what happens. And obviously, we'll be carrying all of that live as it happens here on the Annie Fry Show with lots and lots of video throughout the day today and tomorrow. As Brad mentions, when Wednesday night, we are playing the town hall of President Trump. Now, this is going to be interesting. This is why we're like, okay, yeah, we'll definitely do that exclusively here. Bill O'Reilly and Stephen A. Smith and Chris Cuomo. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a mix.
Right.
What a group. And they're leading off this town hall with President Trump. That would be the 101st day. So just after the 100 days on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So with that in mind, we're focusing on media today, just the role of the media, national media, all in Washington, D.C. today. So a lot of the Fox News anchors that you know are usually in New York are there in D.C. for this big week. And somehow Annie's there, too, which is super cool. But let's talk about the media. Let's talk about 60 Minutes. This is a clip that is making the rounds today. Now, before you play it, 60 Minutes has been a monster news show for a long time. If you think I'm just setting that up because we're going to play this clip that really has kind of rocked the media world today, I'm not overdoing it. This was the number one show on television. I think in almost every category, it was beating even major primetime sitcoms and stuff in the heyday for like 20 years. From the mid-70s through the mid-90s, 60 Minutes was all but the number one show most of the time. So this is a major, major U.S. institution, okay? Scott Pelley, I think that's how you pronounce his name, is a host. You've seen him 1,000 times. If you're not watching this, you'll hear him. You probably recognize his voice, but we're going to play the video here on YouTube as well as we talk about it. He comes out at the very end of 60 Minutes last night, And my guess is the brass at Paramount did not know this was going to happen. So I love that stuff. I love it when the corporate's like, whoa, and these people are like, yeah, because, of course, we're in the media and we love that stuff. So we're going to play the whole announcement that Scott Pelley made on 60 Minutes last night. Here you go.
In tonight's last minute, a note on Bill Owens, who until this past week was executive producer of 60 Minutes. He was our boss. Bill was with CBS News nearly 40 years, 26 years at 60 Minutes. He covered the world, covered combat, the White House. His was a quest to open minds, not close them. If you've ever worked hard for a boss because you admired him, then you understand what we've enjoyed here. Bill resigned Tuesday. It was hard on him and hard on us, but he did it for us and you. Stories we've pursued for 57 years are often controversial. Lately, the Israel-Gaza war and the Trump administration. Bill made sure they were accurate and fair. He was tough that way. But our parent company, Paramount, is trying to complete a merger. The Trump administration must approve it. Paramount began to supervise our content in new ways. None of our stories has been blocked, but Bill felt he lost the independence that honest journalism requires. No one here is happy about it, but in resigning, Bill proved one thing. He was the right person to lead 60 Minutes all along.
So they're painting a picture of this guy who's run 60 Minutes for a long time, Bill Owens. In media, I don't know the guy's name, but this apparently he's been a bigwig for a long time at 60 Minutes. And they're saying, well, recently, though, our parent company, Paramount, and this is where it's like, ooh, this is pretty salacious because you're putting yourself kind of on the line here, Scott Pelley. Our corporate owners have been pressuring Bill Owens to censor the news. Wow. Okay. And you're going to call him out live on the air?
That's some heavy charges.
That's some big stuff. But what they're saying is they're trying to tell us not to cover Trump. Basically, to stop bashing Trump constantly, which is all you do. And they're like, we have too much integrity to stop constantly bashing Trump 96% of the time. So they went on live on the radio, or on the air, on the TV, and they called out their corporate overlords. And I think that is brave. I'm not going to say it's not.
Yeah.
It is. But the reasons they're doing it are ridiculous. He even said they haven't censored a single story, first of all. And they just last week, for instance, I think two of the number of story, I can't remember how many they do in a typical 60 Minutes, probably varies, but at least two of them were full-on anti-Trump. You could say propaganda if you're on our side. You'd say information if you're on the other side. But they're fully anti-Trump.
Yeah.
And so for them to say, oh, we can't believe the censorship, like you are censorship. You don't present anything else other than anti-Trump propaganda. So they decided to put themselves on the line. They believe in what they're doing so much, which I do appreciate. But they decided to put themselves on the line and say, we're calling out our corporate overlords. Keep in mind, in the context of where we are with 60 Minutes, here's the reason that this is happening. 60 Minutes is currently being sued by the Trump administration for clear libel. Well, you could call it slander since it's on the air. It's not written. Libel's written. So they're being sued by the Trump administration. Because if you recall, I know our attention spans are short, but back in October, 60 Minutes sat down with Kamala Harris. And we, for somehow, I don't know how we got this, because this would typically be the stuff that would end up on the chopping block and you'd never know they did it. But somehow we got the actual answer to Kamala Harris's, to this question from 60 Minutes.
Yeah, the reason we got it was because there was outrage from the public on this.
Well, but I don't even remember how the video came out. Because usually they'd edit it and nobody'd even know.
They released it.
But they apparently released it. I don't know if it was because of the lawsuit or if the lawsuit came afterwards. But We're going to first play for you the actual answer that Kamala Harris gave to this question. Here you go.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
But it seems.
Okay, so that's the real question and answer that happened on 60 Minutes. And boy, it's amazing how quickly we forget how bad she was at interviews. I think America has forgotten how bad she was at interviews.
I think they wanted to forget.
Because she is somehow still leading the polls for Democrats in 2028.
Maybe they didn't want to forget.
I think they've actually forgotten how bad she did.
Probably.
And they're like, yeah, but she was really likable or something. Yeah, like 2020 vision in the past. So that's the actual answer that she gave. This is the edited answer that they did. I mean, this is full on propaganda that they said, well, this is how she answered the question.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
But it's
now that's the edited version. Unbelievable. This seems like an open and shut case for the Trump administration saying you actively tried to prop up my political opponent, still beat you, but you actively tried to prop her up. And look, is there collusion between 60 Minutes and the Harris campaign? Maybe. No idea. It could be that 60 Minutes just decided, you know what, we're just going to do this anyway because we want her to win. That is, breaking story here, that is not journalism.
That is ethical.
That is the opposite of actual journalism. So we live in this weird world right now where somehow corporate telling them that they need to stop doing pure propaganda is enough for them to say, I've had it. I'm not going to stand for somebody telling me that I can't do pure propaganda for one side because they're currently being sued. And by the way, the other wrinkle to this story is that Paramount is currently trying to pull off a merger with some other media company. I can't remember the name of it. It wasn't a big name that I knew. But they're trying to buy out another media entity. To do so, they need approval from the Trump administration. So you can see why the Paramount is going, look, maybe we need to present the other side 1 out of 20 times. Like, is that too much?
Can we get 5%? 5%.
Could you do something for us here? We're trying to pull off a merger.
Yeah. There's a, Ryan, I sent you a clip. It's Joe Rogan. He's talking about, like, you're talking about present it 1 out of 20 times. But what Joe Rogan here is saying is like, there has to be something that the Trump administration does that both sides can agree on. So
here, play it. There you go.
America. Because, like, when good things happen, do you not want them to happen because a Republican is president? Because that's a very un-American way to look at things. And I think that's where we're at these days. I think there's a giant chunk of our population that is so wrapped up in these social media squabbles and owning people online and talking and listening to videos and TikToks. They're so wrapped up in this us versus them that they can't see that we're supposed to all be in this together. And even if you don't like that guy, if Trump gets in and he does something that's awesome for the country, you should say that's awesome for the country.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really good that terrorists aren't sneaking into our southern border. That's really good. It's really good that they find all the criminals that are taking over apartment buildings in Aurora, Colorado, and root them out. Yeah, that's really good. They should deport them. Yeah, they're criminals. That shouldn't. We shouldn't have to deal with that. Yeah, maybe we should fix everything that's going on in North Carolina. Yeah, that's good for everybody. It's like these things are common sense.
Look, first of all, Brad, can you tell me what's behind those beeps? I'm just curious.
No, not on air.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me off air? There's a reason why these podcasts are beating mainstream news. It's been a while since I've looked at the numbers, but there are times when 97.1 is actually beating CNN. We're just in St. Louis, ladies and gentlemen. We're not outside of St. Louis, unless you're on the app. But, I mean, we're a St. Louis radio station, and there are times that our numbers are better than a given program on CNN. That's real.
Download the free Odyssey app.
And that one was for the corporate overlords. But it's amazing that media has shifted so much because they have fully cashed in their integrity. And these powerhouses that used to exist, I mean, it's not a new topic. We talk about this a lot. But it's amazing to watch it happen in real time, that these institutions that you've trusted for a long time, and really the names matter, like the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, you know, these big legacy CBS names and stuff. Those names still carry a lot of weight. But people know when they tune into those or they read those what they're getting.
Yeah.
And that used to not be the case. And it's really unfortunate that to find somebody that you feel like you can trust. And look, I don't know if you're a fan of Joe Rogan or not. He's killing it. Yeah. I mean, the dude has an enormous audience. And it's why when he says something like that, people take notice, because there's so many people paying attention to it. And it's not a crazy message. It has a couple cuss words in it, as I understand. I don't know what they are. Brad's going to tell me later, because I'm not familiar with those words.
Fluffin'.
But when he says something like that, it's the majority of America. They're going, yeah, if he does something you like, celebrate it.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's really okay. And you don't have to spin everything all the time. And you know what? You've done it for so long that you're going extinct.
Yeah. And he's like pointing out too, it's like, it's just because you disagree with the other side doesn't mean that you have to think that the other side is evil.
No.
I'm so past that mentality. The other side isn't, because they disagree with you, evil. They just think that they have a better way of doing it than you do, a different way. That's not evil. It's a difference of opinion. And this is also why we need to have conversations and speak to one another so that we can sort these out. Maybe you learn something from them and maybe they learn something from you.
It's the difference between standing for something in principle and standing just for politics.
Mm-hmm.
We will have this discussion once in a while, and we'll wrap here because we got to get to Ryan Schmelz. But we'll have this discussion once in a while, especially during the Biden administration, where we would just on a Friday usually say, is there anything that Biden has done? And it was kind of to prove a point, unfortunately, that you've liked. And we'd try really hard to find some sort of piece of legislation or something that's bipartisan that we all liked. Sometimes we'd mention, yeah, the CHIPS Act may be okay. It was spending a lot of money. And in fact, looking back at it, you're like, actually, they may have been siphoning that money off, which is what we're all complaining about with all these NGOs. But we would try to find things so that we weren't being just politics, because it's about more than politics. It's about principle. And finding people who represent those principles. Those things shift over time. Obviously, being a conservative today is not as the same as being a conservative 20 years ago. But you try to land on solid ground. All right, we're long. We're going to go to Ryan Schmelz next, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. He is going to give us what's going on the other side of Capitol Hill. Probably talk about this big, beautiful bill. Are we close? It's the 100 days. Coming up on the Trump administration, and Annie Fry is there. Keep it here. We'll keep checking in with her, and of course, Ryan Schmelz next.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Well, it's all the president, especially on the 18 important trading partners. We're doing bespoke deals, and he's going to be intimately involved in every one. 2 weeks ago, when we had the Japanese delegation come in, he started it in the Oval, and then we took them into the negotiating room. So he laid the groundwork, told them personally how important the relationship was, but also how important a fair deal for the American people is.
That's Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. He will be the focus of the attention tomorrow. Well, the economy really will be the focus of the attention tomorrow for the 100th day of Trump's term. We have Ryan Schmelz with us right now. He's Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House and Annie Frye Show correspondent. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how are you doing, Brad?
It's Ryan and Brad actually both with you today.
Nice.
So here's the deal. Annie Frye is in the White House today. Walking around doing the press pool stuff.
I saw her at the briefing, yes.
Did you? Oh, okay. So I didn't know if you were, like, which side you were on.
I wasn't there. I saw her on the TV.
You saw her on
Fox
TV?
Live.
Okay, yeah. We did, too. We played some of that back last hour. So we're talking to you a little bit more about Capitol Hill, and, you know, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance kind of going on in the White House with the 100th day this week. But Congress is still not in session right now?
They are coming back today, and I believe they're actually having a debate on the floor about a bill right now.
Okay, so are they focused on what we assume they're going to be focused on for the next few weeks, which is the budget bill?
They are, yes, absolutely. We actually just did an interview with Chairwoman Lisa McClain, which will be airing a little bit later on today on the Fox News Rundown podcast. So I think the big thing with what she's focusing on is, yes, this one big, beautiful bill. And the first big step in this process is going to be the reconciliation markup process. So that means that each committee that is supposed to be finding these cuts and crafting some of the legislative pieces to this is going, they're going to be having their committee hearings. And a lot of the focus is probably going to be on the Energy and Commerce Committee. The reason for that, that is the committee that oversees Medicare, Medicaid, other entitlement programs like that. They've been tasked to find over $800 billion in cuts. So of course, Democrats' line of argument is that there's no way that you can cut upwards of $850 billion without touching Medicaid, Medicare, other programs like that.
So, Ryan, are Republicans talking about trying to find different funding mechanisms for this thing? Because obviously they're going to do tax cuts. We don't know exactly what that'll look like, but they're going to do tax cuts and make those things at least semi-permanent, hopefully permanent. But are they trying to figure out how to add revenue in creative ways right now?
Well, you heard the Trump administration float the idea of a wealth tax in order to pay for some of this stuff, but it doesn't look like that Speaker Johnson and other Republicans are really flirting with that idea. What has been kind of floated to me is that, and it's probably not getting talked about enough, is this idea of using energy as a way to raise revenue. There's going to be new permitting projects that they're hoping to get through with this reconciliation process, expansion of different American energy platforms, you know, whether it's oil or natural gas, and that's going to be a way in which they expect to raise revenue and try to pay for some of this stuff. But of course, there's still a lot of pushback about the plan for how this pays for itself. And that's where you saw a lot of those disagreements between conservative members and more moderate members earlier on. And I think those disagreements are still there, right? There's a big lack of trust from House Republicans, at least the more conservative House Republicans, with the Senate. They don't feel that the Senate has the political will to find some of these spending cuts that they're pushing for.
Ryan, you may laugh at this question, and that's okay if you do, but is there any chance that there could be a balanced budget to come out of this? Not that we get out of national debt, but just could they balance this thing?
Probably not out of this specifically, because a lot of what happens with this is, you know, kind of just seeing what happens in the future in terms of math, right? You know, what's going to happen to revenues if the Trump tax cuts are extended? They have $4.5 tax cuts in there. You know, how much in terms of spending cuts can they find with this? And then how is it going to raise any additional revenue through economic growth or oil permitting like we've been mentioning? If they're going to get any closer to a balanced budget, the process you're going to want to watch for is actually down the road with what we're going to call the appropriations process. So that is what Republicans have been pushing for with this Congress, which is 12 individual spending bills that would fund the entire federal government. However, the problem with that is that they're really late in this process. They were supposed to start this process last September. It's now almost May, and they haven't signed or passed one appropriations bill yet. So getting that done is going to be very complicated.
Ryan, there are conservative members of especially the House, maybe the Senate too, Rand Paul, of course, not Rand Paul in this instance, but conservative men like Chip Roy, for instance. They're usually pretty outspoken, very fiscally minded Republicans, but they're on board with this. So can you reconcile, in my head at least, how these typically hawk budget guys are on board with this bill when it doesn't actually balance the budget?
They're on board with it to an extent. The reality is that when they decided to jump on board and vote for this, because they keep in mind, they only voted for a framework. Okay. They did not vote for final passage. The last thing that got them across the finish line was that Leader Thune came out and said, we're committed to getting to $1.5 trillion in spending cuts. They felt that was enough to get them to say yes, but I don't think that guarantees that they say no in the that they say yes in the end, because there's still a lot of hesitation and a lot of concern amongst, you know, the fiscal hawk House Republicans about what the Senate is willing to do and how far the Senate's willing to go when it comes to spending cuts.
Hey, Ryan, this is Brad. I noticed that there has been a lot of talk about the budget bill and everything like that, but right below the surface, there's also a lot of talk about rescissions and a rescissions package. Is there any news or update on that front? Where do we fall on that?
Yeah, we can break some news right now. Lisa McClain, the chairwoman for the House Republicans, said just in our interview before I came on here that rescissions will probably not happen this week, but they are expected to vote on a rescissions bill maybe next week. And that'll include cuts to NPR, cuts to PBS, as well as cuts to USAID. I'm not sure exactly what the number is. I believe it's around anywhere between 10 to 20 billion. So not the biggest rescissions bill out there, but it is a first step.
So just to clarify, Ryan, they would pass the budget as it is or as it becomes and then go back and start making some of those major kind of headline cuts or DOGE cuts. That's how that would work?
Yeah, or they could put the DOGE cuts into the reconciliation process. That's certainly possible, too. Pretty much the reconciliation is going to be a whole bunch of things shoved in there, and they pass it all as President Trump says, one big, beautiful bill. This is how they got Obamacare across the finish line without needing 60 votes. Rescissions, they could pretty much do that at any time. And I think there have been some questions that Republicans have laid out there in the past when it comes to how the administration is going about some of these changes, because they're doing most of it through executive order. And yeah, there's some Republicans who might say, hey, look, rescissions only needs 50 votes in the Senate. Just send us what you want cut, and we can make that change really quickly.
Yeah, that sounds like really good news. I'm trying to find the good news here, Ryan. That sounds like good news, because it to me, what we're going to get is once they pass this bill, whatever it looks like, we're going to get a lot of headlines that say, you know, hey, Republican only bill or whatever was passed and doesn't balance the budget or puts us X amount into debt. But that number would only be temporary then, because they would go back and cut more, right?
Yeah, they could always come back and cut whatever they want because the president can simply send a rescissions bill to Congress at any time. So as long as they control Congress, they have any opportunity they want to pass a rescissions bill anytime.
That's great. I mean, I'm really glad to hear that because whatever the number is, then you'd know, well, it's probably going to go down from here, even if we don't quite get to zero. I'm going to switch topics here a little bit with you, Ryan, because President Trump was tweeting out something that or truthing out, depending on which avenue he was taking. Something that he has mentioned before but hasn't gotten a lot of traction, I don't feel like, and it's maybe because things just happen so dang fast. But he's really been saying that he wants to either end income tax or make it go away for people under 200,000. Lately, it's been 150, depending on the day. But is that something that we could see happen this year, or is this a long-term goal for the Trump administration?
I mean, I guess they could put it in reconciliation, though I think it'd be hard to get that past the what's called the Senate parliamentarian, because the rules of budget reconciliation are that it's supposed to be deficit neutral. If you put something as bold as a reduction of the income tax completely, I'm not quite sure that that would go over well. Now, I think it depends on if you were to replace it with a different type of revenue, you know, whether it be sales tax, property tax, whatnot. So I'm just hearing about this for the first time. Certainly, President Trump has floated a lot of different ideas over the last 100 days or so. This one, I mean, I haven't heard too much on it yet from House Republicans. I mean, there's always been Republicans out there who want to see the income tax abolished altogether. But in this circumstance, I just don't really know too much about it just yet.
Yeah, I may be asking questions that are like, they're so fast, and you may not know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. Is that something that Congress could even do, or is that something that needs to be passed by a two-thirds majority, you know, filibuster proof, or is that something they could do with 50 senators?
I think if they were to do an income tax bill like that, it would probably need 60 votes. That's what I mean. This is one of the reasons why they use the reconciliation process for the Trump tax cuts, because it's a way for them to get a simple majority of 50 votes. You can't really do that if they're going to do that down the road. That would be very hard to do. Yes, because they probably would need those 60 votes to do that. So therefore, the chances of it probably passing or getting 60 votes would be a little hard. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of Republicans out there who are now kind of on this side of, hey, look, we like tax cuts, but we want to make sure we pay for them. So I'm not sure that would go over with every single Republican in the House or the Senate, because I think there'd be at least a couple who come out and say, whoa, if we're going to do that, we need to find a way to pay for it.
So today, last question for you, Ryan, I'll let you go. But today is the 28th of April. Is there any timeline that you're hearing that we could have a budget bill?
They want it done by Memorial Day weekend.
So
that is
a
timeline,
okay.
Speaker Johnson has put out there for a while now. Lisa McClain, in our interview just now, was still very committed to it. She said it's going to be messy. She said that to pretty much buckle up because it's going to be wild. But they still have every intention of getting this thing done in the next 3 weeks. It's a very bold promise. It's a very bold goal. Can they pull it off? Yes, they can. But it's going to be very difficult.
Ryan Schmelz, we always appreciate your reporting from Capitol Hill. Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent Ryan Schmelz, thank you very much.
Of course, thank you, Ryan and Brad.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I mentioned balanced budget about 15 times in that interview because that is, to me, the ultimate goal. I don't think they're going to get there, but it's just good news to hear that even if they don't, the budget that they pass won't include a lot of the cuts that they're still going to do.
Right.
So that, to me, that's important to note, because the headline will say one thing, but then the reality of how they're going about it, that's how they're getting a lot of these really fiscally conservative Republicans on board.
I asked that question about rescissions. I had no idea they were going to break news on that. But my excitement about that is that, A, you only need a simple majority, which is great. Both House and Senate.
Absolutely.
And that's easy to get passed because they have both of those. And that's something, cuts are something that both, like even your real fiscally hawkish and your more moderate Republicans can get behind. And it's people like Lindsey Graham and Senator John Kennedy that are really pushing those. And to hear him say, hey, they're looking at something, what does he say, next week?
Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal. So I'm really looking forward to that. We don't have a taxation problem. We have a spending problem.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. I know that a lot of Washington people and people in our industry really get caught up in the, oh, it's so messy. Oh, the, gosh, they can't get their act together.
Should be messy.
Who cares? it should be messy because you have a lot of different factions. And I'm not even talking about Democrats. Democrats are just going to be no. Republicans are trying to figure out how to get there. And I want them to be as hardline as they can throughout this whole process. I get that you do have to pass a budget at some point, but if it takes beyond Memorial Day, I don't care. Like I've said before, you have people, and I mean good, conservative, fiscal-minded people saying, you got to pass these tax cuts. It's like a talking point that they say. And every time I hear it, I go, yeah, you do have to pass them by December. You don't need to hurry because this won't affect anything until next year. Now, a lot of people want to know before that. I understand that. Mm-hmm. If you're paying a lot in taxes, especially the business stuff that's in there, I get it. But for practical purposes, there's not a hard Memorial Day deadline to pass the tax cuts for 2026.
Right.
So,
but I think that deadline has everything to do with it being a reconciliation bill. Because if you can't get your reconciliation bill across the line, then you're looking at 60-plus from the Senate.
Oh, I'm fully confident they will have a reconciliation bill. I don't think that's the question. It's just a matter of when I hear – and it's Fox News, it's like a lot of guests will get on these national platforms and programs and say, this is about tax cuts. You got to pass tax cuts. Agreed. I just don't get the urgency for doing it for next year right now. That's all. But I like the process. I think this is a good process. Because it's messy, it's probably better. Because if everybody was just in lockstep, you'd know, that was a little too easy. Making cuts is hard.
Yeah, if you had an entire Congress full of people that represented every facet of the American country and everybody agreed on everything immediately, that would be very suspect.
Well, we're here for it, and we're going to keep watching it because it is super important. I mean, to everything, to national security, to the value of your money, to every grocery you buy. I mean, this stuff affects everything, and it affects your kids probably more than it affects you. It is 1:44. We got to take a break. We're going a little long. We're going to come right back and talk a little bit lighter stuff. Jonathan Kite was on the show last week, and Brad was able to go to the show. And I'm anxious to hear how it was. And then, you know, we're going to play back some of the liners that he cut for us as Donald Trump. If you missed that, stick around.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking through your questions here, let's see. I like this one from Donna, and I'm just picking these at random. It says, I would ask, Mr. President, what do you want the country to be like after you leave office? How would you define the success of your presidency in regards to what this would look like? I like those big picture.
Yes.
Like, what's your legacy? I mean, you're basically halfway through it, so
Donna, that is a great question.
Be tough to answer right now, but I don't know whether Annie is actually going to get to ask questions of the president or not. I mean, hey, I'm not going to say it won't. It's impossible. Yeah. It probably won't happen. But she may be at the signing of the executive order this afternoon. And you know how those things go. We've carried them before.
Yeah.
He'll sign it, and then people just yell questions. He just starts talking.
Yeah.
That's the way he does. So could Annie actually – I just want her to come home and tell us that she yelled, Mr. President, at least a couple times. I don't care if she doesn't get called on, it's okay, but she's got to at least yell and like hold a pen and be waving at him or something like that. Let's see here. Other questions before we get to the Jonathan Kite stuff. My question is, will he at least reduce the real estate taxes for seniors? Mine have gone up $900 since 2023. Great topic. I don't think that's the federal government. I think that's more local and state. So I don't know that that one would come up, but I really hope that somehow that happens. Very near and dear to my heart. Here's Jackie says, what measures are they taking for true budget cuts? We need Massey and others to sign on, and they won't without large cuts. Completely agree. Will taxes be eliminated on Social Security? I don't know the answer to that. It's probably why that's a good question. And last one from Scooter. My question is, what are the odds that President Trump will sign the big, beautiful bill this month? Well, we just talked about that a little bit with Ryan Schmelz. And I just don't think, hey, if they're saying Memorial Day, let's hope for July 4th. And let's hope it's good. Ultimately, that's the point. It's not just get it done. It's get it done well. So this weekend, Brad went to see comedian Jonathan Kite. Now, Jonathan Kite was here on Friday.
Yes.
We all said afterwards and even since then that he was just great.
He was great
to talk to.
He was phenomenal.
Super funny. I assume the show was the same.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the show had a whole flow to it. And it wasn't just like he goes up there and does impressions. He is a comedian in the purest and truest sense of the word. His comedy is observations and like, why are we doing like this? But then every so often in the course of making his point or his observation, that's when he throws in a Tom Hanks.
So he's talking about everyday stuff. He's going, what's the deal with all the different brush sizes and toothbrushes?
Well, no, not like that. I mean, it's more cultural topics that he's noticing. And he was talking one time, he was talking about how he was trying to figure out to do his character on Two Broke Girls. He was trying to figure out how he was going to speak Ukrainian because he had to deliver lines in Ukrainian. And the producers of the show didn't know that he didn't speak it. So he just started texting his friends. And he's like, I felt like in the process of texting my friends, I started feeling like Jason Statham. And he's like texting his friends and he's doing Jason Statham, leaving this voicemail about, like, do you know anybody that speaks Ukrainian? And then he would go into Liam Neeson. I don't know who you are, but if you speak Ukrainian.
That's funny because when we were talking to him, and I don't even know if that was on air or off, we were saying, you know, it's got to be weird. There are people who are easier to mimic than others.
Yeah.
And when you hear Jason Statham, I've never heard a person even try to do that.
Oh, Jason Statham.
But once you hear it, you go, yes. Oh, yeah, that's that.
Yeah, and he is like in the format, in the way that he did it, Jason Statham is a great impression to do.
So, like, why?
Once you get it down, because he's so unique sounding. And when you get it down, you're like, because you hear certain things. I don't know. I watch a lot of Jason Statham movies, but you can hear Jason Statham. You hear something somebody says, you're like, oh, man, I could hear Jason Statham saying that. Now, have you ever been to a comedy show, Ryan? Because this was an experience, and this was also impressive of him, was watching him wrangle the crowd. Have you ever been to a comedy show where you have a rowdy member?
Not really, no.
So this is the first time I had ever experienced that.
You had a heckler?
Not a heckler, kinda? But a guy that's like didn't realize we didn't pay to hear him talk and do his commentary.
Really?
Yes. And so he was sitting right behind me. He handled it the way I would have as a substitute teacher. It's initially, we're not good with that behavior, but then he would grab this guy's energy and redirect it toward a positive way. And so this guy never at any point felt
offended. Was the guy drunk or something? Yelling out?
Or something.
Something? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Drunk or something. So
he spins it into the show.
Yeah, he spins
it
into the show.
That's not easy to do.
And that guy left, and he, as the night went on, did less and less interruptions, and he left happy with the show, too.
So this guy wouldn't stop? He kept doing it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was constant, but yeah, I would say every 2-3 minutes he'd be like, and he would
That's a lot. It's,
you need to stop, bud. Like, it was to the point where I was looking at the other people in the audience and they were looking at a guy.
Wow.
Didn't get Jonathan off his game at all. Powered through, redirected the energy, made a great show out of it. Like, made my my wife laugh like a squirt bottle. For those of you who aren't listening, if you don't know, it's that sound that people make when they start laughing really hard. Made her laugh like a squirt bottle. It was so funny.
Here's Jonathan Kight on Friday endorsing the Annie Fry show.
Annie Fry, okay? Sometimes I have vocal fry, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the unbelievable at 10 and 11, some say. An 11, some say a Spinal Tap 11. Annie Fry, what a fox. What an unbelievable fox. Not Fox News, this fox, okay? Believe me. Fantastic. Listen all the time because she's so smart, so unbelievably smart. And then if I have to do it in a big room, Annie Fry, you love her. She's so great. Look at this Annie. Isn't she fantastic? So fantastic. Like Mr. Fantastic, Fantastic Four.
Did you get to talk to him at all at the show?
Yeah, I got to talk to him afterwards, and he was like super, super gracious. He's like, man, thank you for coming out. I hear this a lot whenever I go to the shows. It's like, we're always really surprised to see people that come out and they say it on there. Oh, yeah, you got to say it.
Yeah.
But then to actually see them come out, it's always great to see them. And he sold hats and all sorts of things, signed my hat. So it's great.
Cool. Yeah, we love talking to comedians. And some of them are really easy to talk to. Other ones, they're funny, but you can tell they're doing their material. And either way, it's funny. It's just a difference in style. And the cool thing about him was that he can do impressions of anything. And like you said, he could just kind of flow. And so you would just throw something out there and we'd just kind of go. It was a really fun interview. You can get the podcast, Annie Fry, on Odyssey.com.
Oh, yeah. I saw one of our listeners there, Kate Team. So I just wanted to shout her out.
Oh, cool. Cool. Well, stick around. 2 o'clock is coming up and we are interviewing Bill O'Reilly at the end of the 2 o'clock hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.